This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, along with Tim Marks on the board, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to Live the Promise. I am excited about today's show. We have as our guest one of my new favorite authors, amazing writer, but even more than her ability to craft a book is her heart for the Lord. You are in for a treat. We've had Anne on the show before. You're going to love it, so tune in, buckle up, and get ready to be blessed. My guest today is author Anne Voskamp, and she wrote a best-selling book, 1,000 Gifts, A Dare to Live Fully Right Where You Are. We're talking all about today, about gratitude, about grace, about spilling over with joy, about sacrifices of praise when our flesh wants to do something different. And Anne says, we are made to give him praise. We are made to glorify him and enjoy him forever. And you know what? Even when we embrace that heart of gratitude, it affects our health, our mindset, our motivations, our perspective. And I wrote on a blog recently that I'm even a more enjoyable person. People like me better when I'm thankful. How about you there, Tim? People like you better when you're grateful?
Well, I think all of us are liked better when we're grateful.
You were about to say, I like you better when you're grateful.
Well, I like me better when I'm grateful.
Yeah, but the truth is, there's something almost acidic about bitter people, about ungrateful people. And the thing is, I'm telling you, if you live in this country, I know we all go through hardships, but we are a wealthy people. And it's if we focus on the one or two things that are going wrong and we miss all the ways God's blessed us, we miss the bigger picture, don't we?
We miss the bigger picture, and we're tough to be around.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
It's hard to be around somebody who's not grateful.
It's really true. And again, God is with us in our struggles. But I've gone to some of these third world countries, and you see people who live in these dilapidated shacks and who eat really one meal every 3 days. And they sparkle with the love of Jesus, and they're so grateful. And it confronts all the things that we've taken for granted, that we just sort of assume should be ours, you know?
Yeah.
And so this book, and the message of this book, to me, is timely, and it is from the Lord. And we are in a day when everything else seems unstable. We have plenty of reasons to give praise.
Yes, we do. And you're right. Going to a third world country, it's just an amazing thing how you see people that have absolutely nothing, but they are so thankful and they are so joyful. And they love, you know, if they're brothers and sisters in Christ, they love the Lord, and it shows in everything
right.
they do.
Well, you know, there's a term in radio called reset, and that's if we go off the path a little bit, we'll come back and reset, or if it's just been a while since we've said why we're here, what we're doing. Well, I think these trips to third world countries are resets. They reset your perspective if you've wandered off and started to think, you know, that you deserve more than God's giving you.
That's right.
Suddenly you go, oh, never mind.
That's right.
Anyway, well, let me tell you about our guest, and we'll get her on the show. Anne Voskamp is a bit of a mess. Don't you love it? It's poetic right from the start. She earned a full tuition college scholarship in psychology and education, but came home to gravel roads and cornfields to marry a farmer. She did have babies, half a dozen of them. Her laundry basket is never empty, mine neither. She loses library books. She homeschools their six beautifully exuberant kids, and most days she feels just a tad bit overwhelmed and crazy. She's a columnist with Dayspring, a division of Hallmark, a contributing editor to Ladies' Lodge, The High Calling, an author of the award-winning geography series for children, and a global advocate for the poor, traveling for Compassion International. The only words that really matter are the ones she lives. This convicts her. She clings to grace. The author of 1,000 Gifts, A Dare to Live Fully Right Where You Are, is an amazing book. She's just wild enough to take the dare right in the midst of her own gritty, grace-filled life. She and her husband are farmers in the Mennonite countryside of southwestern Ontario, raising those half a dozen kids, crops of corn, and the roof in praise. Thousands of readers on six continents click over every day to read her mess and God's grace. And that her blog, you want to check it out, aholyexperience.com. That's aholyexperience.com. The calls are coming in. Welcome to the show, Anne. So glad to have you with us today.
It's a privilege. Thank you, Susie.
And I want to tell you, those of you listening today, her book is a runaway bestseller. It is just, I think they sell something like 10 million books on Amazon, and hers is Number 10. That's pretty awesome. I love it. From one author to the other, I'm celebrating with you and
well,
so happy
for you.
That's
all God thing. Nobody expects anything
oh,
like that.
I doubt that, honey. Well, we like to start each show by discussing a particular passage of Scripture. You chose one of my favorites, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Tell us why that verse means so much to you.
I think lots of times in our lives we're trying to figure out, Susie, what is God's will for me right now? What direction am I supposed to take? There are so many roads in front of each of us. Every moment, actually, every moment is this battle between gratitude and grudgery. Will I complain and become embittered in this moment, or will I give thanks? And God's will always, regardless of the decisions in front of us, is to give thanks in the circumstance. And that really has been my story and has changed my life, only because it really is God's will for each of us.
Mm. And it really does change us from the inside out, doesn't it?
The circumstances don't have to change. It's our own heart inside changing that we are grateful for what he's giving us and seeing that he loves us and he's providing for us and he is taking care of all of the circumstances outside of us. The miracle really has to happen within us.
Mm. Well, you start out your book talking about a terrible crisis that happened when you were young. I'd love for you, if you don't mind, sharing that story, because it really is a backdrop for how you learned to give praise.
Mm-hmm. I am the oldest of four. My mother had four children in 4 years. When I was 4 years old, she just had the fourth child. My youngest sister was 3 weeks old. My third sister, the third youngest, Amy, was walking outside on our farm that I was growing up on, and she was crushed under the wheels of a truck in front of my mother's eyes, and I was standing there with her, and it is my first recollection, my earliest memory. They say oftentimes our memories begin with a trauma, and for me, that is my first memory. Mm. Of my little sister being killed there in our farmyard. Mm. And that really became the canvas of our family's life. Why does a good God give us something that we don't understand? Where is God when what we think are bad things, where is he when those kinds of things happen? And our family really struggled with bitterness and closing our fists to God and saying, no, I'll control my own life. I will try to control my own destiny. And really, I'm not interested in you, God, because where were you when this happened? Mm. And I think, yeah, the rest of my story is wrestling that out. And I became a Christian when I was 16. But honestly, Susie, it took me a lot longer before I began to say yes to God in every moment, no matter what he gives us.
Well, I have to tell you, Anne, that I think that's why the book is selling so well, because you are so raw and so honest with your process, because that's the very real process with anybody who's walked through any kind of traumatic pain. Those questions can't be ignored. They have to be wrestled through. And
I think lots of times we try to bury them and we numb ourselves out to them. And whether we realize it or not, the ramifications ripple out into the rest of our life and they undermine our faith. I think facing them head on and wrestling it out with God, and it's been a really powerful experience realizing that he is always good, and I am always loved, and feelings can lie, and his character remains the same. It has been a process for me, Susie, yes.
Wow, feelings can lie, but his character remains the same. And
yes.
I truly apologize if I opened up a wound by even asking you to share about that.
No, not at all, not at all. It really, it's been a long process, but a good process for our whole family. It really has been. Mm.
So do you remember, Anne, the aha moment or a light bulb moment or when the winds shifted and you know what I mean, where you felt the Lord grab your chin and have you tilted your head up a little bit?
There's always, life is sort of like an onion and there's all these layers and you're always processing at a deeper level. But I really do think when I started to write out these 1,000 blessings, someone dared me to write out 1,000 things I loved. So I began this process on a wild whim, not really understanding what God had for me in it at all. And realizing that as I started to write out these 1,000 things that I loved, it really wasn't the 1,000 things that I loved, but it was all the ways that God loved me that I was waking up to and recognizing. It was, I remember the first 2 to 3 weeks that I was in this process, it really was euphoria for me. It was waking up to God. And I mean, I thought I was a relatively aware person before that process, but realizing I was a woman wounded and hurt, and I had struggled all of my adult, well, right from the time I was a child, all through, right through my adulthood with anxieties, realizing really that I was a woman wooed, that God was pursuing me with love, and that if I could wake up to see all of the ways he was blessing me all around that I really had been oblivious to, that really began this aha experience for me, that he was passionate for me, and I could really trust him no matter what happened. He was for me, never against me. Those were all cerebral things that I understood, verses that I understood in my head, but they were really now starting to migrate down to my heart.
Mm. Well, when you think about that, you had a very legitimate gripe, so to speak, a very legitimate fear, pain, trauma, and many do, and yet you can see if the focus stays there and not on the ways that God has wooed you, how that you could be so imprisoned by that pain. Well, I want to talk to you more about that process on the other side of these calls, but just about the growing up process and what that was like for you, even under, as your folks reconciled that pain and you know, glimpses of God's grace throughout that process. I want to hear from you. Maybe you want to just share how God has wooed you or some of the ways you see that he's clearly blessed you. Give us a call, 877-933-2484. And Carrie from Northern Minnesota would like to share something. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. I am actually thankful that my husband has a permanent full-time job now after working many part-time jobs. And now I'm also very, very thankful that he fervently provides for our family so I can stay home with our children. Mm-hmm. And that's just a small area that I am, I mean, it's large, but it's one area that I'm very thankful. But Anne, I just wanted to tell you that I am absolutely thankful for your transparency on your blog. Mm. It has absolutely blessed me. And I want to tell you, too, that I am sure that, well, I'm positive that it's touched so many other people's lives. Mm. Just bringing this darkness into light. I am very, very thankful. Oh. And I hope to one day when we meet in heaven to thank you personally. I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, thank you, Carrie, for taking the messy and broken anyways and just sharing the journey. I really, really appreciate it. Some days you think, oh, I'm hanging all of my laundry out here for everybody. But I think when we're honest with each other, God meets us in that, and there's healing in it. Thank you so much.
Carrie, thank you so much. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe you've been impacted by Anne's ministry. Maybe you want to share a testimony of gratitude. Carrie, you could hear that, her gratitude for her husband. And many of us have husbands who go to work every day, and we take that for granted. That is an incredible blessing that we have a man who gets up, even when he doesn't feel like it, and he goes to work. I want to hear from you. 877-933-2484. We have Cheryl on the line from Minneapolis, and we'll get to her call on the other side of this short break. I'm talking today with best-selling author Anne Voskamp about her great book, 1,000 Gifts, Dare to Live Fully Right Where You Are. We're helping you to develop an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude for everything God has done for you. And this seems like a good time to express our thanks to you for being part of our Faith Radio support team. You know, we're a listener-supported network, and we're so grateful to you for partnering with us as we bring you programs that connect faith to everyday life. If you're not currently a part of our team, you can join us by going to our website at faithradionet.com. Click on the Support Faith Radio tab. You'll find the Faith Radio station in your area, and you can get more information about how to join our team. Okay, we'll be back with more from Anne Voskamp in just a moment.
The meeting went long and you missed your favorite author on Connecting Faith with Neil Stavem. Don't fret, it's on the Faith Radio website at faithradionet.com. And at the touch of a button, you can send it to a friend for free. Faith Radio, connecting faith to life every day.
Beautiful one, I love. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must say.
Welcome back This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. We're talking today about developing an attitude of thankfulness today with best-selling author Ann Voskamp. We've opened the phone lines, and calls are coming in this afternoon. Cheryl's calling from Minneapolis. Love to hear what you have to say, Cheryl. Welcome to the show.
Well, hi, and thank you. And I'm just calling because I'm so grateful, number one, for our Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. through his saving power, mm-hmm. through the blood that washed away my sins, as far as the east is from the west. I'm so grateful. You know, coming up, my parents were divorced when I was 15, mm-hmm. and I just had, when I graduated from high school, for example, I made my own open house invites that set out to make me a world, you know, and just idealist, ignorant, but, you know, just so full of myself and running every which way but toward God. Mm-hmm. And through his amazing saving power, after many trials and tribulations through my trying 20s, actually, you know, God is so perfect and so good, and I'm so grateful that I went to a church one night when my heart wasn't right, mm-hmm. and the Lord got a hold of me, mm-hmm. and through his Holy Ghost power and saving power, just made a transformation in my life, mm-hmm. and, you know, we all come to that path, fork in the road where, you know, all I knew is I wanted Jesus Christ in my heart. Mm. That's all I knew, and I had, there was just no other way to go, you know, but further down in the pit, mm-hmm. that I was so spiraling out of control. And I'm just so mighty grateful for everything.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you so much. You know, one thing that you wrote in the book, Anne, was that it's impossible to give thanks and simultaneously feel fear. And I really love that because, you know, that's a fear, something I reckon with because of certain things as well. And but you're right. They're like opposing forces, aren't they?
They are. Actually, Susie, this week I've had to go back to that statement over and over and over.
What did I say again?
Exactly. The Lord would like me not to write the words, but become the words.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we can't. Lots of times, fear is a feeling, and to mentally try to fight fear doesn't work. Feeling has to fight feeling, and gratitude is a feeling. So when we go ahead and we give thanks, we can't feel fear at the same time. We're giving thanks to God, who then is recognizing and acknowledging he is taking care of us, and the fear, and I can testify it to this week, which has been a fearful week for me, that it was actually been exciting at the same time, realizing, you know, everything I wrote was true. When I give thanks, I don't feel fear. Yes, Susie, exactly.
So, you know, when you were talking about, you know, growing up, you came to Christ at 16. How did your transformation affect you, knowing, I'm sure, that your parents were still very much feeling the depth of the loss of your sister, even at that point?
Yes. Amy's death, and it was such a violent death. She was killed. It had ramifications that really just rippled out for decades. My parents were divorced, and by the time I was 22, they were married just under 25 years. I was walking closer to God and realizing that God was in control of situations, and seeing my parents' pain, and especially my father's pain, and his wrestling that through, and wondering, where was God in a day when he wanted his daughter protected and taken care of? Dad mm-hmm. really shut down to God. And that's ongoing pain for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we pray every day for Dad that he would come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. My mom got saved, my brother saved, and my sister saved now. So we're all looking back now. We see that my mother will say now that Amy's death was the biggest gift God ever gave her. It opened her up to her own abuse in her childhood, which she had buried, and God has used that to bring great healing in her life. And it's hard when you to come to a place of saying the tragedy really is a gift, and that all is grace. And I think each of us, it's not a cliche that you give to somebody who is in pain. It's a process that each of us in the pain have to come to realize that it really is grace. And it's been humbling to see our family as a whole move to that place. And yes, we're still praying for my dad, who still, yeah, has that closed fist. And pain does that to us. We just coming to the place of realizing that God is in control, and he is for us and not against us. That is a process of bending the knee, that each of us have to make that decision.
And, you know, God obviously hears your prayers for your father,
yes.
But you look at what the enemy meant for evil and how many of you in that family have responded to God. I mean, that in itself is a counterattack.
It is a miracle. Like, we each say that God saved one of us each at a time. We all fellowship at the same church. And there's Sunday mornings I sit there with the tears just streaming down my cheeks. Thank you, Lord, that we are all here and we can raise our hands in praise to you. It's really the greatest gift of all.
Mm. Well, you talk about in your book, Anne, that there's a forgotten secret that actually increases happiness, improves health, and deeply pleases God. And I think I know what you're going to say, but I'd love for you to share.
You know, it seems like one of those infomercials.
Yeah. Five easy steps.
A little tacky. I'm sorry.
No, I loved it.
But, you know, yeah, the secular research only confirms what Scripture tells us. The practice of gratitude has dramatic and lasting effects, and it really is quite amazing. Gratitude lowers blood pressure. It improves the immune functions. It promotes happiness and well-being. People are 25% happier if they keep gratitude journals. They sleep a half an hour more every evening, and they exercise 33% more each week compared to persons who aren't keeping any gratitude journals. And they achieve up to 10% reduction in systolic blood pressure and decrease their dietary fat intake up to 20%. It does sound like an infomercial.
Right. And it's really impressive how you rattled all that off just now.
I think the amazing thing is, why is gratitude so powerful? And why does it affect so much of our life when we choose to go ahead and give gratitude? The research actually indicates it's more powerful if you, you're daily giving thanks, having a daily gratitude journal, as opposed to just doing it once a week. But I think the power of it is we were made for this. When you're giving thanks, you're doing exactly what you were made for, which is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So I think the reason it, quote-unquote, works is because we're doing what God intended for us to do, which is to glorify him.
Yeah, we're singing a song back to him that he's singing to us.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's, well, you know, talk to the person who's maybe stuck in a small place. You know, I know for me, just the trials that we've gone through, that in as the scripture that you began with, in all circumstances, in all things, there's reason and cause for praise. And, you know, I think we're such a fast-paced society. We're so addicted to performance and production.
Yes.
We despise slowness and smallness, and yet Christ cherishes those small places. Bible says, don't despise the days of small beginnings. And you even wrote, don't disdain the small.
Yes.
Talk more about that.
I think God comes to us in moments. Time was the first thing that God went ahead and pronounced as good and holy back in Genesis. So time comes to us as moments, and the moments are simple blessings. The mother in the kitchen, the dad driving to work, changing diapers, doing laundry, they seem like small things. But these are acts of worship. These are ways to go ahead and serve God. I say it all the time here at home. This is my song of thanks to you, that as I'm doing these things, I am communing with you. That makes each of the moments holy and a gift back to God. Scripture tells us, bless the Lord, O my soul. How do we bless God? What could we possibly ever bring to God but our thanks? And this is how we enter into his presence, with thanksgiving in our hearts. So when we do the work and do it as a gift unto the Lord, this is the way the small things become magnified, full of the presence of God. Mary says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And the small things, they become greater when we see them as acts of gratitude, as unto the Lord. All of a sudden, you're not just washing the floor or making dinner. You're doing it as a way to serve your family as great in gratitude for this gift of a family, but as all things, as in gratitude for God, that we get to be alive, that we get to take this breath, that we get to be here to do this. Again, exactly that quote from the book. Susie, do not disdain the small. All of these moments, they add up our whole lives.
Yeah.
If we disdain the small, when do we glorify God? When do we give thanks? If it has to be in the moments.
That's what we have to give him.
That's all we have.
Yeah.
Here is where we love him, not ahead of us, not rushing ahead, but here in this moment is where I can love him, what I'm doing right now.
I want to read the rest of that quote. The whole of life, even the hard, is made up of the minute parts.
Yes.
If I miss the infinitesimals, I miss the whole.
Yes.
There is a way to live the big of giving thanks in all things. It is to this, to give thanks in the one small thing.
Mm-hmm.
The moments add up.
Yes.
Beautifully put. I mean, it really is. I think, again, we paint such a big brushstroke picture, you know, and we miss the sacredness of the small, or we get such a myopic view of our problem.
Yes.
We miss the blessing right next to it, right?
Yes. I think when I started to write out the discipline of writing out 1,000 things, my life, I thought I was a grateful person. The big brushstrokes. I'm grateful for this home. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for where I live. When you started to break it down, though, I'm looking for 1,000 blessings. I started to look at the small and to see how God, He is this fountain of grace. He spills love into my life. I couldn't keep up to all of the blessings. I think in my own life, I really had been, big, broad brushstrokes that I was grateful. It was breaking it down into the little parts. That discipline really opened me up to how faithful and how passionate a lover He really is.
His love for us really is amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we have to take a short break. And if you're just joining us, you're going to want to get a podcast of this entire interview. And you can do that by going on our website at faithradionet.com. That's faithradionet.com. Click on the Live the Promise archives link. There you'll find all of our past programs as well as a link to be able to share the podcast with a friend. Do you know someone right now who's struggling with gratefulness? Well, maybe this show would be encouraging to them today. All you have to do is click on the link and you can send the program to them via email, Facebook, or Twitter. You know, it's very easy and it doesn't cost you a thing. I want to thank you so much for being part of the broadcast today. This is Live the Promise, and we'll be back in just a moment. It's called 1,000 Gifts, Dare to Live Fully Right Where You Are. Author is Ann Voskamp. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We're talking about thankfulness today. Ann, is there a particular verse in Scripture that really stands out to you on the subject of thankfulness and gratitude?
Oh, yes, in everything, give thanks. I'm memorizing, actually, from the book of Colossians, 2 verses a year to memorize the entire book of Colossians. And we get to the third verse. It says, we always thank God. Can I always thank God in every moment of my life, knowing that His heart is always good and full of love towards me, and that I will take that as my reality, not the circumstances. So, yes, in our house, we've been saying the last week, we always thank God. Now, can we do it? That's our purpose.
Love that. I can just picture you with your 6 kids. Can I get an amen, kids? Well, I know you tag your blog with All is Grace, and that just quickened my spirit as I read that. And I would love for you to expound on that and why you say that. I love it, but talk more about it.
The process of coming to that realization that all is grace came out of an experience with our third son. Levi was in a farm accident. His hand went through a fan at the barn, and we thought he was going to lose his hand. He ended up, his index finger on his right hand was smashed, and we had surgery, and it was a long process, a whole summer of going back and forth to the city hospital to see the surgeon and sitting in waiting rooms with people who had been in fires, people who had been attacked by dogs. It was waiting rooms of people that were in visible physical pain. You could see the scars and the bandages. And coming to the realization that, am I going to believe that God is in control of all of these circumstances? That as I was writing out 1,000 gifts, were these moments curses? What were the moments that were curses? Does God give curses to people? Or could I see that God loves us and only wants good for us, that everything He's giving us is to conform us into the image of His Son, that He doesn't do anything to harm us or to break us, but to lead us into deeper into His heart, deeper into relationship with Him? And yes, and sitting in a hospital waiting room was where I really came to accept all is grace. All is a gift from you, and I will see the world not through my own lens, but through the lens of Scripture that says that his character is good and that his heart is love. And if his heart is love, then what he gives me is only grace.
Wow, that's excellent. When I read All is Grace, you know, right away I thought of how the Bible calls us clearly not to mix the law with grace, and how so often, you know, we have a little bit of religion and a little bit of grace, which really is like, you know, a little bit of arsenic in your tea. I just wonder about, you know, for you, as someone who's earnest in her pursuit of God and wants excellent things and wants to live that life worthy of the call. And how do you rest in that grace and the knowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus? And how do you resist maybe the enemy's attempt to throw the law at you as a condemning force that you're never quite enough?
Oh, that happens on an ongoing basis.
Right. That's why we have the shield, right?
Yes. I think for me, going back and writing out those 1,000 blessings, and I'm way past 1,000, and I'm never going to stop giving thanks. It has become the song of my life. So I'm constantly writing down the things I'm grateful for, realizing that it's not performance-based. His love for me was already decided at the cross. And he loves me unconditionally. And as I'm writing down those graces, those gifts, I'm seeing that he loves me regardless of whether I've blown it today at lunch, whether the house is a mess, whether nothing has gone right. That when I'm really giving thanks for it, all things are in Christ and through Christ and to Christ. When giving thanks for those 1,000 blessings really is all of the time giving thanks for Jesus Christ, giving thanks for everything that I have received through Christ. And I cling to grace, rely on grace, and giving thanks for those blessings is counting the graces to stay in an attitude of gratitude for the graces so that I can't get caught. The law weighs like an anchor lots of times, but I need to perform. And he's wooing and saying, I love you through Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, I see you as beautiful and perfect. You don't need to perform. And when you feel loved by him, the virtues come naturally because you want to praise him and you want to give him thanks and you want to serve him. Something done out of a heart of gratitude and a heart of love for him, not out of a burden at all.
Wow. If you just tuned in, I'm so glad you joined us. And this is a great show. I'm so looking forward to continuing this conversation. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Have as my guest one of my new favorite authors, Ann Voskamp. Truly, I don't know, for me personally, I'm a voracious reader, and she's the best living reader, I told her. There's a few dead guys that might give you a little bit of a challenge, but not too much. I mean, you're a phenomenal writer. Her book is 1,000 Gifts, A Dare to Live Fully Right Where You Are. But even more than her ability, her wordsmith gift is her content and her heart for the Lord and the message of this book. The title is 1,000 Gifts, A Dare to Live Fully Right Where You Are. And Anne, let's back up a little bit and talk about how this book was born in your heart and what it was like, the process of writing it.
The process of actually writing the book, Susie, yes?
Yes, but first tell me how this even idea, the concept, was first born in your life.
I started, it was Thanksgiving, I believe, 2006. I hope I've got the year right, Susie. I started to blog what I was doing, that I was writing down 1,000 things that I was grateful for. So as I blogged that, there were other bloggers online who wanted to join in that process. Could they also go ahead and give thanks for 1,000 blessings? And that sort of caught on. I was approached by an agent. Actually, there were readers that were reading the blog who contacted an agent. And he got in touch with me and said, could we go ahead and put together what you're living and what you're doing and how it's changing your life and changing other bloggers' lives? We were getting the stories back that they were also writing out these 1,000 gifts. People who had struggled with depression, people who were in really trying, difficult family circumstances, that writing out the blessings was this habit of gratitude that was changing their life. So, yes, that's where this all really came from. I didn't set out to write a book. I was I'm wrestling out my own personal life and my struggle and fight for joy every day and to enjoy God and glorify Him forever. And that's where this project came out of, Susie.
Well, I just have to ask you, from one author to another, I mean, you're a blogger, but, you know, this writing skill, where did that come from? I mean, obviously it came from God. Okay, that was a really dumb question. But, I mean, how did, have you honed that craft, or do you surprise yourself when you put these things on paper?
No, honestly, okay, I've been blogging for 6 years. That's part of it, that daily discipline or 6 days a week discipline of blogging has definitely been of help. But as I was writing this book, actually my husband, he's a farmer but also really good with a hammer. He built me a writing cabin out behind the house. It's just 10 feet by 10 feet. It's very small. But as I was in the last stages of going through this book last winter before I handed in the manuscript, there were times I had to run into the house absolutely breathless and tell everybody God was giving me things. I had no idea where the words were coming from. They weren't my ideas. I'd read back through paragraphs and say, I didn't know this before. For me, the writing process really is to meet the Spirit of God, the Word meeting the Word. And yes, a lot of this, it sounds trite, but I mean it sincerely. It came from the Lord, not from me at all.
That doesn't sound trite to me at all. In fact, one of my hard things in being in the literary world is whenever you say spiritual stuff, some people will say, well, that sounds hyper-spiritual. And to that I answer, if that means super spiritual or really, really lots of spirituality, then yes. What can I say? It's Jesus. It's nothing else.
I'm not saying... It sounds, it can sound audacious at the
right.
same time,
mm-hmm.
and I don't mean it to sound audacious
not
at all.
It truly is from the Lord. I hear that.
It was, because there were times, I was breathless and so excited to keep writing, because I was writing into things I didn't know them before they started to appear on the screen, and I mean that humbly.
Well, that is, I keep thinking He's the author, He's the perfecter, He's the creator. We as His people should be some of the most creative people. You know what I'm saying? We tap into Him. Our gifts should be in full color, shouldn't they?
Yes. John 3:27 says, no man receives anything unless it comes to him from heaven. And that is really how I feel about this project. For me, it was a gift that after I was done writing it, it didn't matter if it got published. I mean, we'd already had a contact, but regardless if anyone read it, He had spoken to me in such deep ways, and it had changed our family as a whole. It really was a gift to us.
Well, again, I love it when the Lord blesses someone like you, Anne. And just so you know, listening today, the book is a runaway bestseller. So this doesn't typically happen where, you might have something to say and an agent calls you and, hey, you want to write a book? Okay. And she writes it and boom, it's gone. That doesn't happen, just so you know. But, if the Lord's hand is on it, it certainly does.
And it's all Him. Yeah.
Amen. I love it. I'm happy for you. Well, this is one of my favorite quotes out of your book. I love this. I'd love you to speak to it. On every level of life, from housework to heights of prayer, in all judgment and efforts to get things done, hurry and impatience are sure marks of the amateur.
Oh,
wow.
Isn't that absolutely convicting? My oldest son actually knows that quote and will say it to me when I start to get hurried and rushing through. I think the hurry hurts us, and we are addicted in this culture to speed and to moving fast. God gives us time, and we don't have time for God. 6 out of every 10 people say they don't have time to sit down and read their Bibles, but God has given us time, and somehow we have got to figure out a way to make every moment this cathedral of praise and to glorify Him in it. And for me, this process of slowing down to see the gifts has been a process of becoming fully aware and attentive. And when I weigh down the moment with my attention to the beauty of it, to God in it, time itself slows down. And it really has been a process for me of slowing down and not, because my default is I've got so much I've got to get accomplished in a day. And this process really is a process of being in this moment. And I mean, that seems like a buzz phrase to live in this moment, but the process of giving thanks and making every moment a cathedral of glory, Genesis 28, Jacob says, you know, the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. And I think this is what I've really come to realize, that can I make every moment the house of God? We don't run in church. We're slow in church. And if every moment we see as really a house of God, that God is in this moment, we are slow and reverential, and we are grateful.
You know, as you're talking, I think of the scripture, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Exactly.
Taste it, see it, hear it, look for it.
Yeah, taste and see that the Lord is good. Life is dessert. Life isn't something that we want to wolf down and gulp down. And God gives us these things to see that he is good and he is sweet. And can we slow down and savor our lives, what he's giving us?
You know, even when you talk about being present in the moment, you know, that's only cliche. You know, you think of the meaning of cliche. Cliche is rendered, you hear it so many times, it's rendered meaningless. Mm-hmm. So it's only cliche if you're not paying attention.
Yes.
If you're not being present while I'm telling you to be present. Because if you're really present, that is exactly what you're saying. There's sacredness in this moment. We worry about tomorrow. We race toward tomorrow. We drag baggage from our past. But the sacredness is in the now, isn't it?
It's in the now. His name is I Am. I meet God in this present moment. So I think when I'm cognizant of the fact that here is the only place that I can love him, why am I racing past this moment? I Am is meeting me. So I need to slow down and live in a posture of gratitude and worship to him.
Ah, that is so good. Slow down and live in a posture of gratitude and worship to him. Well, we've talked on this show many times about our need to be still before him and to know that he is God. On the other side of the break, Ann, I'd love to get into how we can have an attitude of gratitude in the sameness of our everyday. Sometimes, quite frankly, our lives don't seem that exciting, and it's easy to get caught in the mundane chores that we have to do at home or at work. We're going to talk more about that after the break. You are listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and we'll be right back.
Faith Radio contributors are your direct link for help and encouragement on a wide variety of subjects, including finances, relationships, faith and family, fitness, and parenting. Visit our website, faithradionet.com, today, and happy reading, faithradionet.com.
Keep your eyes on the prize.
Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. I recently heard Sarah Grove's new single, Keep Your Eyes on the Prize, and it so inspired me. By the way, you can see her perform it on our website at faithradionet.com. Anyway, long story short, the phrase, keep your eyes on the prize, is not only catchy from a songwriting perspective, it is a thought and lyric that through the years has helped men and women through some of their darkest hours. As believers, we need the constant reminder to keep our eyes on the prize. And that's why Faith Radio exists, to remind, to encourage, and to urge you to remain faithful to that high calling. And when you fall, and we all do, get back up and keep your eyes on the prize. If you're not already a member of our monthly support team, would you consider joining? Find out more at our website, faithradionet.com. And together, let's keep our eyes on the prize.
Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on.
El Shaddai. Michael Card has been known for his rich lyrics and clear message in the over 20 albums he's produced. But he is also passionate about studying and teaching the Bible with a master's degree in biblical studies. Thursday evening, March 22nd, he brings both loves together in a special evening with Michael Card and the Gospel of Mark. He's coming to Maranatha Hall on the Northwestern College campus for a special evening of story and song. And tickets are now available through the Northwestern Ticket Office at 651-631-5151 or online at www.faithradionet.com. Spend an evening with Michael Card reviewing some of your favorite songs and gain a fresh perspective of the gospel story Thursday, March 22nd at 7 p.m. Reserve your tickets today and join us for an evening with Michael Card.
We're back This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Glad to have you along with us this afternoon. We're having a great discussion with my guest, best-selling author Ann Voskamp. We're talking today about developing an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude, even when we seem to be stuck in a rut. You know, sometimes it's hard to be thankful when things become routine. Well, let's talk about sameness. You know, I think oftentimes people can lose perspective and struggle amidst the redundancy or the sameness of life. Mm. Although there are times and seasons where God calls us to sameness, and you say there's sacredness even there. Talk about that a little bit more, about practical ways even to find the sacredness in the laundry, in the dirty floors, for the factory worker.
I think, you know, going back to, I think it's G.K. Chesterton, he talks about that it takes great strength to endure monotony, and that God himself raises the sun again every morning, and the waves lap up against the shore every evening, every afternoon. God loves the rhythms and the routines, and he exalts in it over and over again and celebrates it. It's like that little children love that over and over again, the celebration of rolling that ball across again, 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 and never tiring of it because they see the beauty and the grace in it. I think it's easy for us to get tired and weary of what we see as mundane in our homes, doing the dishes over and over again and dinner over and over again. But you're exactly right. When we see that this really is a gift and a privilege, this past year I was in Guatemala, and yes, walking through a dump and seeing families living in a dump. You come home and it is such a privilege to get to do these things in our kitchens that we take for granted every single day. My sister has just spent the last 10 days in a critical care unit with her fifth daughter. She said when she came home, she just wanted to lay on the floor and kiss the kitchen floor that she got to be here and do this. And I think for me, I really have changed my attitude that I get to be here and I get to do this. My life could look a lot different. Why are we given the miracle of 2 days, of 3 days, of 4 days? We don't deserve anything that we have. When we live in gratitude, all of a sudden what seems mundane, all of a sudden is such a gift to get to do this. I had a friend who was dying of cancer, and she said when she was in the hospital, I would do anything right now to be at home and scrub my toilets. Mm. And I have never forgotten that. This is a privilege and a gift to get to serve like this and to get to do like this, because it didn't have to be this way. God didn't have to write my story this way.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I was battling Lyme disease and I was hooked up to an IV and had everybody else taking care of my babies and our house was falling apart and finances were turned upside down.
Yes.
And I wrote in my journal, thank you, Lord, for taking away, for when we have again, we know to be thankful.
Yes.
And, you know, you think about the Jewish people who were hauled to prison camps and
yes.
read biographies, you know what they dreamed about was their kitchen table,
yes.
their books on their bookshelf. And so I think, you know, the answer to the sameness is to do exactly what you're saying, to look, take inventory, take account. You would miss all these things. All this sameness, you would miss it so bad if it wasn't your reality.
Lots of times we don't see what we have until we've lost it. And it's better to give thanks when we're here, as opposed to waiting till we've lost it and look back and say, I should have been more grateful instead of taking this for granted.
Mm. Well, the title of the amazing book is 1,000 mm. Gifts, A Dare to Live Fully, Right Where You Are. The author is Ann Voskamp. This book is a bestseller, and it should be. It is a beautiful work of art. And Ann, last time I had you on the show, you said something that really hit me so hard when you were given this dare, you know, to write down the 1,000 things. And you were reeling even as a you know, an adult from the loss of your sister.
Yes.
When she was little, she was killed by and hit by a truck, a farming accident, terrible thing. And when you start to write these things down, all these things you love, all of a sudden you realize this was an account of actually God's love for you. It was an
yes.
account of him wooing you. Talk about that, about the importance of gratitude, not only for our heart, but really what it paints a picture of God's heart for us.
I think, you know, we make these, especially when we pray, we have these grocery lists of prayer, these petitions we bring before God, and this is good and this is right. But when we start to give thanks, this is moving to the other side of prayer and into the throne room of God's heart for us. And we start to see how passionate he is for us and how his love really envelops us and carries us in ways that we really were blind to and didn't even see. I think, yes, the book that I wrote really is about this sort of Song of Solomon, where he is this passionate lover who will not relent in any way till he has communion with us. When I talk about Thanksgiving, that central image for me is Jesus taking the bread and giving thanks and breaking it. I mean, we call that communion. And that's what he wants. When we are giving thanks, we are in communion with him, and him in us and us in him. And that's the kind of relationship and love relationship that he wants with us. And we can't enter into that presence apart from thanksgiving. For me, this is times I still really struggle and get scared about the future, and I struggle with trust, and is everything going to be okay? And when I go back and I give thanks, like the people of Israel were constantly recounting how God had carried them, I trust his loving heart for me, and that all the fears ebb away. I don't have to be afraid of the future. He's carried me through, and whatever comes, I know is good. It really has changed my anxiety levels.
Mm.
And I can trust his heart. I think this really is about awakening to the character of God and seeing that everything that Scripture says is true.
You know, it just reminds me of one of your quotes from your book, "How we behold determines if we hold joy."
Yes.
Behold glory and be held by God.
Yes. I think it's changing our perspective and the way we see. And once we can change the way, gratitude really is a function of our perspective. And if we can change the way we see, we can be grateful. And when we're grateful, we step into joy. And that's being in his presence. And in his presence is fullness of joy.
Mm. Well, as we wrap up, I'm thinking about the person listening who's wandered away from gratitude, who's maybe become so focused on his or her negative circumstances that they've maybe even misjudged God's motive and heart for them. Wondering if you'd pray for that person, that they would feel God's hand on them, and they would start to practice the gratitude and really enter into his gates with thanksgiving.
Heavenly Father, you love your children so much. You are the wounded healer. You know what pain is all about. You know what heartache is like, Lord. As we intentionally decide to give thanks, Lord, and write down blessings, you too, Lord, are keeping a bottle full of all of our tears, and you don't miss one of them, Lord. And the person that is hurting and in pain, Lord, they take comfort in the fact that you see and you care, and that as you are keeping track of all of the tears, Lord, can we humbly bow the knee, Lord, and say that, yes, even though we are uncertain of your heart, we will begin to count the blessings, just teeny tiny small things, Lord, that will begin to crack open our hearts to all of the ways you love us. And you are gentle, Lord, and you are patient, and you tenderly love us and give us time as we work through the pain and the process. And you will not forsake us, Lord. And I pray for that person to just slowly pick up the pen today and one thing at a time, see if they can just jot down even two or three things every day where they see your hand at work and they can give thanks, Lord. Pray that, thank you, Lord, that you cup that person close today and hold them close to your heart, and that they might hear your beating heart of love for them, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name, who loves us so much that he wrapped his arms around us and saved us. We pray these things in his name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Anne, thank you so much for your time again. We so appreciate it. We love you here at Faith Radio.
Thank you for the privilege. It really was a gift and a grace. Thank you, Susie.
Great to be with you. And thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. You've been listening to Live the Promise. And you can find a podcast of this great interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. You can check out Ann Voskamp's incredible blog. It's at aholyexperience.com. That's aholyexperience.com. I am so glad you tuned in today. And you know what? The Lord, he wants you to last long and finish strong. And he's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Embrace grace. Embrace joy. Give thanks. The Lord Almighty is with you. Have a great day.